Believe in LA Football Podcast.
Touchdown Rams!
Touchdown UCLA!
Recovered by the Chargers.
The Trojans back in front.
With your hosts, the coach and the Don. Part of the Believe Podcast Network. LA's number one sports podcast network.
What's up, delegates, and welcome back to the Believe in LA Football Podcast with your host, the Coach and the Don. Brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals, and also by SportsAlDente.com, your recipe for LA sports. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How's it going up in Pasadena?
Pasadena,
whatever.
Pasadena, that's fine. You can call it whatever. It's hot, real hot. I had to jump my wife's car earlier right before we got on the air, and I had got all sweaty, hot, and bothered. It's a warm one. And as I've, people, listeners of the show know this, that my air conditioning unit is very loud, so I can't run it while we're recording. And so it's a little toasty in the 51-yard line studio.
Yeah, well, you usually get hot and bothered right before we talk, so it's par for the course.
Nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing out of the ordinary. So great show today. We are joined by Nick Scott, who is a safety, defensive back, special team specialist for the Los Angeles Rams, seventh round pick in this year's draft out of Penn State. So we have a fun conversation with him. Looking forward to that. And then we're going to talk a little Madden. Madden ratings, if I can speak, just came out. So we'll kind of look over how the Rams and Chargers were ranked, some surprises, some snubs. I'm having trouble talking today.
It's all good. Hey, it happens. It's the heat. Should I be worried? Like, are you?
I don't know, man.
Is this a medical emergency?
I might be melting. but yeah, some surprises and snubs of the Rams and Chargers about how their ratings were. We have a fun little video queued up of a player and his reaction. So, but first, let's get to our interview with Nick Scott. Have a lot of fun with that. So enjoy the conversation. All right, we are excited to welcome in a very special guest to the Believe in LA Football Podcast. His name is Nick Scott, drafted by the Rams out of Penn State. Nick, what's going on, my man?
Nothing much, just getting ready, gearing up for camp.
Love it. Yeah, we are just mere weeks away. First of all, just want to tell you congratulations, you know, being a high school football player, college football player, and now drafted into the NFL. That's what everyone dreams to do. So great work, and a big congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. So first off, what was that like, getting that call? I mean, you were drafted. You weren't an undrafted free agent, so you were actually drafted on draft night. What was it like getting the call from the Rams?
Right. It was amazing, man. It was, you know, I was selected pick 243, so time was winding down. I was sitting there sweating bullets, you know, obviously because everybody wants to be drafted. So that was a moment I was hoping and praying for. So, you know, when I was drafted, it was kind of like a huge sense of relief. Even though, you know, all the guys that are drafted understand there's so much more work to come. It's kind of a confirmation of all the work that you put in to that point. So just a huge sense of relief and gratitude for everybody who helped me get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's a big thing that not a lot of people get to experience. It's cool that you got to, Nick. You definitely seem to be the guy that deserves to experience something like that. So coming from a big time program like Penn State, I mean, you came in as a running back and you transitioned over to defensive back. Man, what's it like playing with big time players on a big time stage in the Big Ten? How did that transition help you in camp for what you've seen now in the NFL?
I mean, you know, like you said, Penn State is a big time program with a lot of talent. We always bring in a lot of recruits. So, you know, just starting there before we even see other opponents week in and week out, just starting as a young guy and going up against Penn State athletes. You know, we've had some great guys, some great receivers, great running backs, quarterbacks, all that stuff come out of our school just within the past 5 years. You know, going up against those guys obviously helped prepare me to be able to talk about, you know, going up against teams like Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. So when you play in the Big Ten, you know, there's a lot of talent on your own roster as well as others. So just seeing that day in and day out and then obviously at an elevated level on Saturdays, it bodes well with transitioning to this level.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was it like playing at Happy Valley? I mean, that's one of the most pristine college football cathedrals, if you will, and fan bases and just towns. What was it like every Saturday playing in front of those faithful over there in Happy Valley?
You know, it's one of those feelings that's so hard to describe. It's just, it's like, it's really surreal, especially, you know, when you walk in that tunnel and you walk out onto the field and you just, you see 107,000 people all cheering you on and everything. It's a tremendous amount of pride that goes into that school and that town. You know, everybody on campus loves you, loves what you do, loves the football program. So, you know, there's a lot of pride for a lot of people who go to Penn State or who are even just around Penn State or associated in some way.
Yeah, definitely rich history. One of the richest in the country in all of college football. And let's go back to draft day a little bit, man. What were you doing? Were you with family? Did you have a big party? I know some people like to keep it low key. Some people like to do it all big. What was your preference? What'd you do?
I chose to keep it low key. One, because that's kind of my personality. I'm kind of, you know, comb C, comb star kind of individual. And also just because I knew how on the fence I was going into draft day, whether or not I would be a draft pick or a undrafted free agent. And the last thing I wanted to do was invite a whole bunch of people and make a big scene, because a lot of the times, you know, when you do that, people have expectations. And, you know, to the athlete, it doesn't matter whether or not you go undrafted or drafted. You still got to do the same thing as everybody else. But when you have a big group of people, they're kind of assuming that it's going to be a draft-type ordeal and that you're guaranteed to be drafted, which isn't the case. So I chose to keep it low-key.
Yeah, nothing wrong with low-key and just close friends and family. So. You know, Nick, obviously you play defensive back, and that's what you'll aim to do in the NFL. But you kind of made a name for yourself on the special teams side of the ball, which is, you know, it's a three-phase game, so equally as important and something you'll probably look to do with the Rams. Now, the Rams have obviously one of the best coaches at special teams, John Bones Fassel.
There you go.
So I believe I read that you spoke with him kind of before, during the draft process, and then he kind of had told you he was going to draft you and kept his word, obviously, with that. When they made the call, was John on the other end at the beginning, or did you talk to him later down the line, and what was that conversation like with Coach Fassel?
I talked to him actually second after Coach McVay. Coach McVay is the one who I spoke to as soon as I answered the phone. You know, obviously, he's a great guy, great coach, and he basically just very calmly was like, hey, like, how would you like to be a part of the L.A. Rams? And I'm trying not to jump through the phone and scream, yeah, but I think I played it pretty cool until he gave the phone to Coach Bones, and just, you know, I just felt like overwhelmed and already felt like, you know, we had a bond just because of how much faith he had showed in me in the beginning of the process and how much we talked during the process. So it was a huge, like I said, relief to hear his voice, and just a lot of excitement because I know what kind of coach he is, what kind of person he is. And, you know, he's the type of coach that obviously with the rest of the coaching staff and Coach McVay that I want to play for.
Yeah, you know, I've been at Rams camp every year since they've been out here in L.A. and watching Bones out there with the guys, and he's running around and just having a blast. Like, he just looks like a ball to play for. So I'm sure you're going to learn a lot and have a lot of fun doing it.
For sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, a lot of guys, that's their mark. That's their opportunity to make a team, make an impact, is on special teams. And a lot of times when we talk about special teams, people immediately go to, you know, kick return, punt return. But, I mean, being a safety, you like to bring the wood. You like to lay the hit, man. Is there a chance that we might see a Terrell Davis-like type of play from you come preseason?
Ooh, good comparison.
Right. I would say, yeah, I mean, I definitely, when I attack the ball or attack a ball carrier, I definitely – come with a vengeance and try to leave on them as much as I can. You know, so anytime I can do that, obviously there are instances where you just have to get a guy on the ground. You can't always take the kill shot. But, you know, whenever I have the opportunity to leave my mark and let people feel me, that's something I'm going to take each time. And that's kind of my identity. I think I'm an aggressive player. You know, I've been told by coaches you know, all throughout, you know, my career as a football player, that I play a lot bigger than I am. And that's something that I carry a lot of pride with.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, I'm a, obviously you can't see me, but I'm a small guy. So that was when I played in high school, that was what I had to try to emulate as too, play it a little bigger. But, you know, speaking of that, once we get to preseason, you obviously see action out there, and we kind of pose this question a lot to other guys. Is there one player, I don't even know if you've really looked through the preseason schedule, you're trying to go week by week and just focus on getting better every single day, but it's just for fun, is there a player you would love to go up against? I know you play the Broncos in week three, Deshaun Hamilton being Penn State product, plays for them. Is there another guy you've maybe thought of that you're like, oh, I'd love to kind of match up with him one-on-one come preseason?
Deshaun Hamilton is definitely at the top of my list just because that's a guy we've had a real close relationship throughout our years at Penn State. We talk every day, so he's a good friend of mine. We've also developed a great working relationship. He's one of the main guys that I think of when I think of an athlete that pushes me, and I'd hope I'm at the top of that list for him as a guy who pushes him day in and out to get better. So he's definitely at the top of the list. And I'm looking forward to seeing Saeed Blacknell, another Penn State guy. And honestly, I'm looking forward to watching Jason Kabinda do his thing and work a little bit, because that's another guy who's near and dear to me friendship-wise. We talk every day. As a matter of fact, I might be meeting up with him a little later. He just got in L.A. today.
Great.
Very cool. Yeah. Speaking of other guys around the league, man, and especially Penn Staters, Trace McSorley over at the Ravens, there are some talks about him switching over to the defensive side, specifically safety. He was even asked to do DB workouts at the combine. Man, has he did he even ever give you a call, be like, hey, man, like, if I have to do this, give me some pointers? Like, did you guys chat about that at all?
We haven't chatted seriously about it. I've poked fun at him from time to time. He was my roommate last year. So, you know, we definitely bust on each other and things like that. But, you know, that being said, he knows that if he has any help, needs any help in the area, or just wants to talk about the mindset of transitioning positions, that my door, my phone is always open for him. But at the same time, he's a mature guy. He knows how to use his resources. So I'm sure if that's something that they're seriously considering, I'm sure he's already a couple steps ahead of where everybody thinks he is.
Yeah, it'll be kind of fun to see how that plays out. But last football question for me, Nick, and then we'll see if Talon has more, and then we'll get to our other little 10-question fun thing. But, you know, you were a two-time captain at Penn State, and I think that is something that you should take a lot of pride with, and I'm sure you do. It's more than just football. It's leadership and other intangibles that you bring to the locker room, to your teammates, to the game. What is it about you and your personality that gives you those leadership qualities, or that you take pride in bringing every day to work that can make you and your teammates better?
You know, obviously I've been blessed that people consider me a leader and look at me in that light. I just try to be myself. You know, one thing that I've always seen as very important is understanding people's differences. You know, people learn different. They like to be coached different. They play different. You know, so, you know, whenever you're dealing with a large group of young men, you always have to take into account that everybody's different, so you can't respond to people the same way, you can't coach people the same way, you can't push people the same way. So I think, you know, if you're able to recognize that and tailor how you lead to each individual, you'll usually be pretty successful in that life.
Yeah, that's like absolutely perfectly well said. I think that's the number one quality in a good leader, is the adaptability to be able to lead differently depending on who they're leading. So keep that up, man. That's awesome. That's definitely something to be proud of. Coach Talon, did you have any more football questions, or should we get on to the...
No, let's get to the burning questions.
All right, the 10 burning questions. All right, so these will be quick. Some of them are a little weird. Some of them are a little weird. Some of them are super basic, but we'll have a little fun with it. Just kind of more getting to know you and letting L.A. fans get to know you. So, question one, what's your favorite sport that's not football?
Favorite sport that is not football, I would say basketball, but golf is really growing on me.
Okay.
It's getting up there.
Okay.
Basketball, because I played basketball in high school, I enjoy it. I got some bunnies. I can jump through the roof. I can't really shoot or dribble, but you give me a couple alley-oops, or I could probably go toe-to-toe with somebody in a dunk contest. So basketball right now.
All right. Well, I'm like John Stockton on the court, so I'll just feed you alley-oops all day.
just dish it.
Yeah. Who's your favorite basketball team? East Coast team? Or are you now you're in L.A.? You're,
I'm actually all right, everybody's going to kill me on this one. I'm a Celtics fan.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's not going to go over well in L.A., but that's okay. You got time. Right. You got time to turn around. I mean, LA's got championships might go through here now with those Clippers and Lakers being stacked.
Very, very true. They're looking pretty stacked so far.
Yeah. So, all right. Question two, and I guess this probably could be that answer you just gave me, but it could be a football team too. So, your favorite childhood team doesn't have to be football, or it can be football. Just your overall favorite team as a growing up.
My overall favorite childhood team growing up was the Philadelphia Eagles.
Nice. They had some fun teams there. Are you still kind of follow? I mean, now you're gonna play them, so I don't know if you can really follow them much. But
right, I'm kind of weaning off of them. You know.
Yeah. Fair
it's
enough.
It's a little tough. I'm still figuring all this how this being a fan of teams works at this point.
Yeah. Well, you can be fans of the players because you're all out there competing and stuff.
Very
so.
True.
All right, question three. So I know you played running back before, then switched to DB, so this can either be two answers or you can choose one. But your favorite defensive back of all time or running back of all time? I'll let you choose whatever you want to answer.
Ooh, I will say favorite defensive back of all time, Brian Dawkins.
Great, yeah. Long-time Eagle.
He's pretty much the first DB I really started watching being an Eagles fan. And obviously I love the amount of passion he played with and the anger, the controlled anger he played with. And I aspire to play like that.
Yeah. And talk about leadership. There's a guy to circle there.
Seriously.
So that's a good one.
Great leader.
Great one. So, all right. Favorite movie. These are always tough to narrow it down.
Favorite movie. I can go word for word with Forrest Gump. That's my favorite movie of all time.
Coach is happy.
Boom. That's my favorite movie of all time. We never get that answer. I love it. I have a new favorite NFL player. How's that?
Yes, sir. I'll take it.
So we do a segment sometimes in the show called NFL Casting Call where we take a movie and then we pick players in the NFL that would play the roles of the character, like kind of just how their personalities or their style of play. So we did Forrest Gump a while back, and so that was a lot of fun. You'll have to check that out.
That sounds awesome. I'm going to have to check it out for sure.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, Forrest Gump, though. Good one. All right, number five, favorite musical artist.
Favorite musical artist. I mean, I don't even know why I'm thinking about it. It's not that hard. Young Thug, for sure.
Okay, there you go. Good one. All right, so these last five are kind of just weird and off the wall, but they're kind of fun. So, all right, name something that everyone looks stupid doing, whether it be an action or anything, just that people just look dumb doing.
Shout out to Imani Oruwariye chasing after a ping pong ball.
That's a good one. Or like if you said you got into golf too, and golf balls bounce in the parking lot, and seeing guys try to get them as well.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a really good story behind that, but it might not be air friendly, so I'll leave that alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. So, all right, number seven. If animals could talk, which animal would tell the best jokes?
I'd say probably a lemur. I don't know why. They just got that look.
The lemur, yeah. We haven't had that answer, and that's a good one. They do have that look. Sneaky funny. Right. Sneaky funny.
Ooh, maybe hyenas, though.
Ah, yeah. There you go. With the laugh.
They got that infectious laugh. Yeah.
Infectious laugh. Yeah. Terrifying laugh. All right. What is the most embarrassing thing you've ever worn? This might change come training camp, but up till now.
Right. The most embarrassing thing I've ever worn. Probably I lost a bet. Nobody knows about this except for like my friends in middle school, but I lost a bet in middle school.
We'll keep it between us, Nick. Don't worry about it.
Right. I think I wore lipstick all during recess.
Ooh.
Something like that.
That's a good bet.
Yeah.
That's a good. So I when I was in college, I haven't shared mine yet. We kind of randomly will share ours. But when I was in college for Halloween, I dropped the ball and didn't get a costume on time. So like day of, we were going to a party, and I went to like all that was left was this witch costume. But it was here's the catch: it was a witch costume for like a 4-year old. So I had this tiny, very revealing witch costume that I wore to a college party, and that was
That's definitely scary. So I say you hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. So, all right, two left here. We're almost there. If you had to eat, if you had to eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Could be a type of food or just a single dish. Mine would be pizza, as an example.
Oh, I would say my mom's beef stew.
Beef stew.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Can't go wrong with homemade cooking.
No, not at all.
Have you found any new spots out here in LA yet that you've enjoyed, or have you kind of just been a smorgasbord of stuff?
Yeah, I went to this place called Cajun Crab Shack with my boy Dakota Allen, the linebacker. We fell in love with it. We've hit that spot like 3 or 4 times already within the 6 weeks we've been here.
Yeah, so I've been there. It's good.
It's
so you're not. Good. Yeah.
It's really good. You know what I'm talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
About.
You're not overselling it. It's great. So there's a shameless plug for them. So you're welcome. All right, last one here. If you started a country and were the leader, what would be the first rule that you would enforce? I like this one because we've had very different answers from everyone.
First rule that I would enforce. That is such a good question. Sheesh.
Coach, why didn't you tell him yours while he's thinking?
Yeah, so I came up with one a couple weeks ago. It was if you lived within I changed the distance every time, but I'm just going to stay pat with 5 miles. If you live within 5 miles of your home, you have to either bike or walk to work. You can't, like, drive or take any sort of motor transportation.
Really? I like that. Yeah. I'll say, okay, how about this? I'll say required visits to different cultural museums, so everybody has a chance to learn about everybody else's culture, heritage, and understand a little bit more about each other.
That's a great one, because everyone preaches that education is key, but then no one will actually go out and learn about different cultures, which is probably most important because we all live together. So I like that one.
Exactly.
That's a good one. So, well, Nick, there you go. There's 10 burning questions with the Don. So good job. Well done. Give yourself a hand. But thanks, man, for coming on. We really appreciate it. We had your teammate, Vitas Hrankowicz, on last week, so I appreciate being able to just say Nick Scott. It's a lot easier.
For sure.
So thank you for that. But man, best of luck to you. Keep working hard. Stay healthy. You got new fans in us, and we'll see you at training camp.
Sounds good, man. I really appreciate you guys having me on the show and giving me a chance to introduce myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, we appreciate you, man. And next time, you have some downtime, if you're down to watch Forrest Gump, you got a partner in crime right here.
I got a partner in crime. That's awesome.
There you go. Yeah, and anything you needed, any advice or whatever for LA, let us know. We're happy to help out any way we can.
All right, will do. I got your number.
Sounds good, Nick. Have a good one. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, take care.
All right, bye. All right, well, big thanks again to Nick Scott of the Rams. We hope nothing but the best for him. It was a fun conversation, and we hope he has a great camp.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's a good dude. I remember watching him play at Penn State. Dude, I love his nose for the football, and I love the way he approaches the game. Reckless abandon, for sure.
Yeah.
I like me some Nick Scott.
That's great. And team leader, I mean, I think – in my opinion, we'll see how camp goes, obviously, in preseason. But as of now, I think he's a lock to make the roster just for his special team. I know Coach Bones Fassel loves him and told him before the draft he was going to draft him. He was his guy, and they were able to get him in the 7th. So I think he has a bright, bright future in this bright, bright city. But now let's get to the Madden ratings. Always kind of fun when these drop. It's kind of you get player reactions. You get fan reactions, kind of just what their favorite player to rate it, if they like it or not. It's just a game, so obviously it doesn't matter. But, you know, there's a lot of stock in it. Madden's kind of a staple in sports culture now. So I'm going to let you start. I know you had a video queued up. Did you want to talk about him first, or did you want to play the video first?
Yeah, we'll talk about him just a little bit before we play the video.
Okay.
So Keenan Allen, Chargers receiver, his rating, not really what he expected, and honestly, not what I expected.
Agreed.
Yeah, we have a little input from Keenan on what he thought about his Madden rating.
Number one, my overall is an 89, for sure. My short route running is a 91. 60. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who's making this shit, dog? What? Who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69. Like, I'm a little boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm just not understanding something. I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game. Pro Bowl back to back. 1,000. I don't understand. What's up? Talk to me.
We feel you, Kaden. We feel you. Yeah, I'll let you talk about it first.
Same.
You break it down.
Yeah, man, Keenan Allen, 89, a snub. One of the biggest snubs in the game, I think. And, I mean, 89, obviously not that terrible, but for Keenan Allen, in my opinion, one of the top five receivers in the game, way too low. I think he needs to be at least a 95. I mean, he's rated below guys. Both Vikings receivers, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, are rated above him.
Yeah,
Mike Evans, who's respectable, is rated above him. T.Y. Hilton's rated above him. A.J. Green. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling that at all. I think he needs to be up there with the elite, you know, up there with guys like Brown and Jones and Hopkins and stuff. But, yeah, man, total snub for me.
Yeah, well, he's a top five receiver, I think, overall in the entire NFL, and he was 13th. Ranked according to the Madden rankings, and I don't think anyone thinks he's the 13th ranked receiver since he's kind of gotten over his injury issues early on in his career. He's been nothing but the staple of that offense, him and Uncle Phil. So, yeah, I feel him. And 69 strength, like I think a lot of – I mean, they're give you guys credit who'd make the Madden game because there's so many players they have to, like, quote-unquote analyze. But I feel like they're just looking at his frame because he is a skinny frame. He has a skinnier kind of frail frame. And they just like, yeah, that looks like a skinny. We'll give him a 69. But, I mean, he's a strong dude. He gets off the ball, can get out of shed blockers. He's a good – or not blockers, but shed, you know, DBs that are trying to jam and lock up. Don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, and his injury rating is fairly low. It's only at an 83. So, I mean, I feel like Madden still look at him like he's an injury-prone guy. But, yeah, he's been healthy past couple of years. So, as you mentioned, I don't know. I don't get it. But whatever.
We'll talk to him at camp. We talked to him last year, so we'll talk to him at camp. See what he thinks. Try to get him to come on the show. That'd be fun. Okay, well, my first one, and you'll love this, Greg Zuerlein, kicker. We're talking kickers, baby.
How did I even saw him, and I thought he's going to be on Ryan's. I know it.
Dude, he's the fifth-ranked kicker. The fifth. How is he not number one or two? Justin Tucker's one, respectable. Greg Zuerlein is behind Robbie Gould, who is two. Robbie Gould is two in the Madden game. Nonsense. Aldrick Rosas out of New York, ahead of him. Stephen Gostkowski, that can be at least be debated. They are equal in rating. And then Greg Zuerlein. Ridiculous. 80 overall. Greg the leg, hitting a 57-yard field goal to go to the Super Bowl. Mr. Consistency, can boom it down the field, boom it through the uprights. Outrage. I'm outraged over that.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. That is definitely way too low for the leg, especially with Rose being above him.
Robbie Gould?
Not one kicker over 90, though? That's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not the only one that doesn't love kickers.
Yeah, Madden doesn't love kickers either, apparently. And, you know, kicking's kind of tough in that game. Now, it used to be, remember back in the day, you literally just press A and then press A again, and that was it, and you direct it before the kick. Now you have to, like, use a thumbstick, and you have to gauge wind, and and now I have to have the best kicker in the game with an 80 rating. BS.
Yeah.
At least they did something right, though. Johnny Hecker is the number one ranked punter, so at least they did something right.
They got that one right. I'll give them that.
So, Greg, we're sorry. We disagree, or at least I do. The coach, you know, doesn't love him some kickers or punters, but I feel you, Greg. I feel the pain. Well, I want to see him make a video. That's an outrage. All right, I'll get off my pedestal or my soapbox now.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right, do you want to snake it, or do you want to go back and forth?
We'll just go back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
switch it up a little bit.
All right. So mine, this one's a surprise. I don't think he should be rated this high. I'm probably going to get some hate for this, but Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm. No.
The number one rated running back in the game at a 97 overall. I mean, I love me some Todd Gurley. I respect the hell out of him. I know he's a player. But, man, 97 is fairly high. I think maybe a 94, 95, especially with, you know, what's going on with him at the end of the year he had last year. And rated above Zeke. I mean, to me, Zeke's best in the game. And Saquon Barkley, you know, I know he's a young buck, but he's up there. Bell, he's rated fairly high. But Gurley, I don't know. I'm just not feeling that Todd Gurley 97. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, I have mixed reviews. I had him on my list kind of as more of a just a don't really know how to put it, because if you're basing it off of his regular season, which most likely these ratings are more looking at that, then he should be in the talks at least for the number one rating running back just because of how his season was before all the injury stuff towards the end of the year came about. But if you're looking for the future, then yeah, I don't think anyone out there right now as it stands with all the worry concerning that knee would say he's the best running back in football just because of the concerns. So I hear you. Yeah, it's tough to – I'm happy for him. It's cool. 97, number one ranked back, but he'll have to go out there and prove it that he can play and can run the ball 15 to 20 times a game and make it through the whole year.
Oh, for sure. No, yeah. I mean, he had a good year last year. I mean, you could even say a great year, past 2 years, first team all pro. But, man, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm just looking too much into the future. I guess, you know, all this stuff is from what they've done in the past. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm still just not feeling that 97. I think that's pretty generous.
Yeah. So, all right, well, my next one is also a surprise. I think it's, in my opinion, too low. I think they're playing the nuance or too new to rate high card. And that's with Derwin James, safety out of Los Angeles, who had a tremendous rookie season last year, kind of was the surprise draft pick when he fell as far as he did and kind of landed in the Chargers' lap and then made him, Telesco, and the whole organization look genius with his superb play. But he was 86 overall rating, which is the sixth-ranked strong safety. You know, some of the guys above him I don't necessarily disagree with. You have Harrison Smith, Malcolm Jenkins, Tyrann Mathieu, but you know, Keanu Neal, Adrian Amos, they're all good players, but I would put him above for sure. I think Adrian Amos and even Tyrann Mathieu, perhaps, even though he's only shown 1 year. But then again, they had Patrick Mahomes, the number one rated quarterback, after only 1 year. So I don't know. How do you feel about it? I think six isn't terrible, obviously, but 86, I think he should be a little higher.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. And I was going to use the Mahomes as an example as what 1 year can do. Because, right, yeah, Mahomes, what, 97?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really high. So I think James needs to be at least 90. I think he's on par. If not, I personally think he's better than Jamal Adams, who Madden has at a 90.
Yep.
Yeah, I think James definitely needs to be higher than 86. I think that's kind of a slap in the face, to be honest with you. The guy was a first-team All-Pro last year.
Yeah, and they have one slot below him, John Johnson, at 85, which I think is a fair rating for Johnson, who is, being a fourth-round pick, has done some tremendous things. But having James only 1 point ahead of him, kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, I'm not – that's a bad landing spot for James. I think he's, I mean, nothing against Johnson.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think that's a good rating for Johnson, but for Derwin James, this would be one step above that. They got that wrong.
And here's a better comp, because take nothing away from Johnson. Jabril Peppers is an 84, 2 points below.
I just saw that.
Okay, what's going on here? You have Jabril Peppers 2 points below Derwin James. Yeah.
Away from LA football for a minute, but Peppers is one rating above Landon Collins. Come on!
Oh, what are they smoking over there in Playa Vista at the EA headquarters?
They're clearly Giants fans if they have Peppers over Collins.
Good Lord!
Anyway, yeah, Derwin James got slided.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, on to yours.
All right, you know what? This one I think a little high for me as well, and I'm going to stay with the running back position. Melvin Gordon, they brought him in at a 92. Again, a little too generous for me. Very good running back, but he's only had one 1,000-yard year. And for him to be rated above guys like Alvin Kamara, I don't know. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think Gordon should be a 92. They have him above Barkley. They have him above McCaffrey. Kamara, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to be. I think he would come in landing in there right about 90, maybe 89. 92 is pretty generous. They got him as the fourth best back in the league, tied with Le'Veon Bell according to the ratings. But yeah, not feeling that one either.
Yeah, I agree with you, and this is nothing against Gordon at all, but just considering his teammate, who is, we just talked about, top five receiver, is an 89. And I don't know if anyone's saying Gordon at this point in his career is a top four running back, and that's where they have him with a 92. So, yeah, I agree with you. A little high. Probably that 89, 87, 88 range would seem right. But
yeah, I would feel a lot better if Allen and Gordon were flipped. I still think 92 would be a little bit low for Allen, but at least, you know, it'd be in the 90s. But, yeah, I would feel better if those were flipped.
Yeah. But I know Gordon's asking for 92 rating money, so we'll see if he gets it, and then maybe he'll and then he'll perform that way. Let's hope so. If you didn't listen to the show last week, we kind of talked about that and potential trade partners if it were to fall through. So make sure to check out that episode. All right, so I believe we said we're doing three, right? So this is my last one.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So this is one we talked about him a lot throughout the season, and just kind of the surprise that he was and the success that he had. Middle linebacker for the Rams, Corey Littleton, ended the season with 125 tackles, which was good enough for 10th. In the playoffs, finished with 29 tackles, which was first. Now, I don't know if they're just not giving him any love because he was an undrafted free agent, but they have him rated at 75, good enough for 31st among middle linebackers. Now, I get 1 year of production. We kind of talked about that with Derwin James. But having him below guys like – he's below Reuben Foster, which hasn't even played more than four games or whatever. There's tons of guys on this list that I'm just like, really? No respect for my dog, Corey, who was just a dog out there all year long, had a nose for the football, tremendous speed, could get to the outside, run side of the sideline, can do everything that Wade Phillips wants in his defense, and did it with flying colors. And, yeah, no love. I mean, this is – I don't even know if I should say this because I don't want to take anything away out of respect, but they have Ryan Shazier rated an 84. I know that's for a respect thing, but come on.
I feel you.
That's a respect thing for Shazier, but a definite disrespect to my boy Corey, who 9 points below a guy who's not playing.
I feel you.
Come on.
I'm feeling that for sure. Yeah, that's there's just something that doesn't feel right about that.
No, and that, yeah.
I mean, for him to be the 31st ranked, there aren't 30 middle linebackers that I'd rather have over,
right?
Corey Littleton.
Yeah,
there just aren't.
I don't see it either. So anyway, he'll prove people wrong again this year, and then maybe next year he'll finally get the respect he deserves.
Yeah, so. And I know we said three, but
go ahead.
I think we're gonna be a disservice to our listeners if we don't bring up Jared Goff.
Yeah, he was on there.
I think we can both agree that that's a little shameful.
Yeah. 86, 11th among quarterbacks.
No, 83.
83, excuse me. 83 and 11th among quarterbacks. That is a little shameful.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not – the 11th, I mean, I guess maybe that just goes to, you know, show what they think of the play of the quarterbacks. But, I mean, I don't know. 83? The guy just played in the Super Bowl. I mean, granted, he didn't play well.
Yeah. Well, then you have Tom Brady at 96, who played equally as bad in the Super Bowl, just his team won, and because he has the name Tom Brady, was one point. He's the second-ranked quarterback at 96, but he did not play like the second-ranked quarterback all season and in the playoffs. They had a great team, and, you know, they're giving respect to the name, but come on.
Yeah,
come
on. That first
13 points ahead of Goff? No, get out of here.
Yeah, that's crap. That first rating or roster update, Goff is probably going to be climbing those boards
a
little bit.
I think so. I agree. They have him below Cam Newton as the guy right ahead of him. So,
yeah.
I mean, that can be, we can debate that all we want, but 83, I agree. Had to bring it up. Disrespectful. I'll bring up this last guy, too, that I thought was kind of surprising, then we'll call it. But Hunter Henry, 86th, and he was the 11th ranked tight end. I think, to me, that's showing more respect because the guy that didn't play at all last year, played, you know, split time the year before. Obviously, the talent and the ceiling we see, we love. But after not playing for essentially over a year, showed some love. That also just shows the discrepancy in the tight end position in the NFL.
Yeah. So you think 86 is a little bit high for him?
A little bit. Just, and again, I think his ceiling is higher than that. But just considering what we just talked about, guys like Corey Littleton who proved it last year, Derwin James who proved it last year, but they gave low ratings to, and then a guy that didn't even play last year and literally split time with Antonio Gates the year before, finished with like 500 yards, but we saw the talent, they rank as an 86, higher than Littleton and just as high as James. So,
yeah, no, I feel you. Yeah. I think I agree with you. I think 86 is a little bit too high for Henry at this point in the game. I feel you.
Yeah, but hopefully, you know, he's healthy and he'll prove that right and probably even be better. So, I mean, the talent's there. I was surprised they had Jordan Reed as an 88 for tight end, who guy plays like one game a year.
I was going to say, yeah, his injury needs to be a little bit lower too. They have him as an 80. I know that's fairly low, but yeah, he's injured way too often.
Yeah, and Trey Burton, 87. I'm not really seeing that, but anyway, we'll move on. So, yep. Well, there you have it. So thanks again to Nick Scott coming on the show. We're loving having all these athletes on. It's been an absolute blast getting to know these players, and we're looking forward to seeing them at training camp. We just confirmed we'll be at training camp on Saturday, what is that, Coach, the 26th?
27th, I
27th,
believe.
Yeah, so the Coach and the Don will be there. If you are there, give us a shout. Let's connect. Let's meet up. Let's chat. Chargers camp, so I don't even know if I said that, but we at Chargers camp 27th. We'll be at Rams camp multiple days as well. So would love to connect me with you guys. So, but yeah, make sure to check out all the other podcasts on the Believe Podcast Network. A lot of good stuff there. Make sure to subscribe to our show wherever you do listen. We're everywhere, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. Check out sportsaldente.com. If you like print media, we cover all the LA teams, especially the Rams, Chargers, USC, and UCLA. So you get a lot of good content there. And yeah, that's all for me. We're on Flick. If you're not on Flick, it's a new chat app. Use the promo code SportsAldente, or not promo code, but type in the group code SportsAldente, and you can chat with us whenever you want. We're just in there. It's basically like a text chain. So love to hear from you guys and talk some LA football. So, Coach, pleasure as always. Fun show as always. And thanks for being you and talking football with me.
Hey, yes, sir. Same to you. I appreciate you. It just gets more fun and more fun every time we do this.
Yeah, absolutely, it's a blast. So, but I'm gonna turn my air conditioning on and try to unmelt if I can. So
yeah, go cool down. Our conversation's over. You can come back down now.
All right, bro. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Believe in LA Football Podcast.
Touchdown Rams!
Touchdown UCLA!
Recovered by the Chargers.
The Trojans back in front.
With your hosts, the Coach and the Don, part of the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network.